Okay. I think we're on. Yes, yes. This is something new. I had to put, you know, clip it to the, whatever you call that, because there's no tie. I hope you're not disappointed because I don't have a tie. Actually, Brother Brown said you had to get out of, you know, order just enough to, you know, to receive from God. So sometimes I like to challenge the status quo also. I don't do it often, but I do it. I do it. I like to get out of order sometimes. God bless you, musicians. So how are you feeling today? Amen. Are you anticipating something from the Lord tonight? So I am. Continue praying for Brother Doug. He had surgery today, so I haven't heard any news. I haven't had any chance to look at Facebook or my phone. I've been trying to get this note together, so no time for, you know, for playing. So I don't know. Anybody heard from Sister? Yeah? Everything was great. Thank you. All right. So we continue praying for him. So he will have a full recovery, you know, and be back as soon as possible. In the meantime, you stuck with me. I hope you don't mind. I mean, it could be something worse than me. So take that risk. Why not? Amen. Let us open our Bibles, and I want to speak about a small subject. Nothing is small in the Bible, actually. Sometimes we call it simple, but there's nothing simple. And if there is simple, there's deep understanding always. You know, something looks simple on the top, you know, like a big, one of those, in Alaska, we have those glaciers, and the only thing you can see is about, what, 25% sticking out or even less? But when you look underneath, that's massive. So, yeah, we take a subject, and God can take it as far as he wants to, right? God can take it as far as he wants into your heart, whatever you have need of. So let's, Hebrews 7:28, I'm going to talk about consecration. Consecration. Now, you probably heard a lot about it, but I still think that it's food in due season. So you might hear a lot about it, but me, tonight is a different, you know, time and day. And maybe the Lord will talk to you in a different way than he used to talk to you. Maybe a light comes up and you say, wow, I never saw it that way. But it's in due season. So for the law, it says, make it men high priests which have infirmities. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, made the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Okay? And then the other one is in Hebrews 10:20. By a new and a living way, it says, which hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Amen? Let us bow our heads. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you, Father. We just love the way you care for us. You take care, you bless us, you keep us, you protect us. Father, in your hands, I'm protected. In your hands, I find comfort. In your hands, I find everything, security. Father, I am glad that you have me in your hands. Father, I'm glad that you're holding on. Because, Father, you promised that that we will not fail. Thank you, because we can trust you. We have confidence in your word. Tonight, Father, as we approach this subject, we ask you to teach us, Lord, to the Holy Ghost, the thing that we have need of, Father. Father, you take control of the service and everything that is going to be done, that you may receive all the glory and all the honor, Father. We love you and we thank you. And we ask you all these things in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So you can be seated. So consecration, whatever how you pronounce it, but you understand what I mean. So, as we read these two verses, I want to also read you a quote, just one quote. We don't make doctrines or anything of a quote, but it's a good quote anyway, at least to begin the service. And it's called Speak to This Mountain. It says, the Lord God is in the midst of his people. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Let us rise to our feet. No, you don't have to, but he just... This is our hour of divine consecrations. If you can believe. Now, this is the hour today, even though it was spoken yesterday. The Lord God requires consecration. He cannot break forth upon us until we have been so surrendered to his will, to his power. He cannot break forth until we have our hearts so cleansed from sin and things of the world, until the Holy Ghost can ride upon us and so surround us now, and he has, as he has me right now. Amen. So I believe that this is the time for consecration. Now, that don't mean that we are not consecrated to God. I'm not saying that we lack in anything, but we have to understand also that we can always go a little bit further. I mean, even in life, we teach our children to always excel, to go beyond, you know. Don't be conformed to just who you are, what you are. Be the best you can be. And then go beyond that. We always tell them. So, we are not sitting and, you know, I'm satisfied with in the place that I am and in the position that I am. Because I know there's more to have. If I have a desire in my heart that I want more, there must be more to have. And I have not come to the point where I'm satisfied. I'm not saying that that the Lord don't satisfy me. He sure do. But I'm not at the point where I said I had arrived. As long as I'm in this flesh, I have not arrived. Because my goal is to get out of here. So I'm still wanting, I'm still thirsting, and I'm still hungry for the word of God. And one of the things that we require, as Brother Brown said, if we're going to receive from God, if God is going to move, if God is going to do something, he requires that we are completely, 100% consecrated to his work, to his service, to him. Amen. So Brother Branham was told one time, I mean, he was sincere. Probably after so many years, he thought he was sincere, and he was. But one time then the Lord comes and tells him, you know, you need to be more sincere. Okay, so what happened? Did we arrive or not? He thought he was. And sometimes you and I, we get to some position that we think we have arrived. But there's more. But the Lord has to come and tell him, hey, you need more. Not that you don't have any, but if you want to continue, you know, you have to be more sincere. And the Lord goes on and explains what that meant to him. So I said the same thing, same concept. You know, when you get a point that you think you are consecrated to God 100%, there's still more. There's still always, you know, time in our lives that we should consecrate ourselves. When? I don't know. When we move to this church, what do? We consecrate the church and the people. And before this one, maybe then the other one that you was, and you started out there, I wasn't there, but you probably did the same thing. And when a baby is born, what do? We consecrate it to the Lord. I mean, this is never stopped. We're gonna see that consecration is an ongoing thing. Just like everything else in life. So let's find out what that means, the definition. Now we read in Hebrews 7:28, if you can put it back again for me, please. It said, for the lawmaker's man high priest, we have infirmities. Okay. Man is not perfect. I know. He's going to fall. You know, they have desires. We all that way. As long as we're in this body, we are not perfect, and we'll not be perfect, and we cannot make anybody perfect. Imperfection cannot make perfection. But anyway, that's how God chose the high priest. But they could not, with the rituals and everything that they will do, make anybody perfect. But I'm glad that did not stay that way. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, makes the Son, who is what? Consecrated. So now we got someone that is, according to the Hebrew dictionaries that I looked, this word here means to make perfect, complete. See? To carry through completely, to accomplish, to finish, to complete. Add what is yet wanting in order to render a thing full. So they were wanting, because the law could not fulfill, could not complete, could not perfect all the sacrifices. The man will bring the sacrifices, and he left the same way he came in. Next year he has to come back, and next year they will have to come back, and we have to offer blood. And blood, why? Because the blood of animals and sacrifices could not make the man perfect. He will have the same desire when he leaves. But that is over. I'm glad that that cycle was broken, like Brother Tim says. That cycle of life and death and revivals and death, that's broken, because now we have someone that is perfect. They weren't perfect, but now we have the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the perfect one, without spot, without wrinkles, without blemishes. He was clean, he was pure, without sin. It had to take something like that to make another person perfect. So, to accomplish, to bring to the end, to the goal, see? To bring to a close, of course. They could not bring the people to perfection. That is what God was intended to begin with, and we see it now in Jesus Christ. So the Levitical priest could not, with all the sacrifices they offer, can make anybody perfect. They left the same way they came in. And it's kind of sad, but I'm glad that did not end there. Because they were sinners. They had infirmities. I got flaws. Okay. The cat is out. And you have some too. And we have to deal with that. We make mistakes. So how am I going to correct you when you're in the same position I am? We all sinners. And we got to be saved by grace. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, you know. At one point we were there. We were children of wrath, you know. But God has saved us. That ended. So Christ sent his sinless Son. He was not from the common order of the Aaronic priesthood. We know that he came from another priesthood. And the priesthood he came from was the Melchizedek priesthood. Without beginning, without end, without mother, without father. I mean, there wasn't nothing. He was absolute, standing alone. He didn't have to depend on man or anybody. He was without beginning and end, mother and father. He was not like you and I, born of a father and a mother. See? So he could do it because he was perfect. Amen. So that is our priest forever, according to the scriptures, the order of Melchizedek. And we are perfected forevermore. Right? Just that sacrifice, one sacrifice. They took a bunch of sacrifices, but just that sacrifice. So, make the people perfect forever. The sacrifice of himself. Amen. And then when we look at that again, consecrate means to make perfect in this verse. Now, the other one that we read, according to the 10:20, says, by a new and living way. So it was better than the old covenant. See? The old covenant was imperfect and it was difficult. Now, I'm not saying that God was imperfect and God was, men were imperfect and difficult. And I, what I mean difficult, when the high priest went into that Holy of Holies to offer sacrifices, why do you have to put a rope around him? Why do you have to have a little belt? Because it could be a difficulty anyway when he goes there. If you do the wrong thing, that's the end of the belt. We can pull them out. If that was a sure thing, you don't need nothing. No ropes and you don't need no belts. But it wasn't something that is as perfect and easy. So, the covenant was imperfect and it was difficult. You had to do the right things. I mean, you had to have the right attitude. When you went into there, you had to, whatever the Lord required you to dress and to do, it has to be perfect. I mean, not that the man was perfect, but the law, the word is perfect. As long as he do what the word of God says, that I was covered enough. But if he deviate just, out of what it was required, like the sons of Aaron, two of them, God consumed them because they used to work in the, in the tabernacle mixing the incense. So they decided one day, maybe they was in a hurry, or maybe they, sometime after a while things become common. And sometimes we just check a box, we come in, and we don't worry about what we do, how we do. It just becomes so mechanical. We come to church and we leave and years go by. And it become common to us. So those guys just came, this is fine, God will not even, find out what we did. Yeah, well, that's what they thought. See? Because God is always watching. God is always watching over his word. They had to do what it was required. That was the word of God. Cannot fall into the ground. See? So they mixed something up out there. Probably they added a little more or they took. You cannot add or you cannot take from the word, And what happened? God came and consumed them. So, that old covenant, but the new one now, which he had consecrated for us, who? Jesus has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his own flesh. So now we have a better and a sure way. Amen? Now we can enter in through Christ Jesus. He is the veil. In fact, he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. That's the veil. You got to go through that veil if you want to have access to God. He is the veil. That's the same type in the Old Testament. Amen? So here, I looked at the word in the lexicon. It says that consecrated men to renew, to make anew, to do anew, to initiate, to consecrate, to dedicate, a dedication, an inauguration. Okay? So, when I look at these two words, we can notice that we can at least come to the understanding that the word consecrate means perfection, in a way, in these two examples, and dedication. Amen? So, just keep that in mind. So, we have access to God present right now. Under the old covenant, they didn't have full rights to go into the, not everybody, only one man would go into the Holy of Holies, not everybody could. Now, after the veil has been rent, after Christ paid the price, all of you have access to God. You don't need the priest. In fact, before it was a sin to go in, it was death. Now it is death and you don't go in. So it was limited then, but now we see that we all have access to that Holy of Holy. Amen. In the beginning, when Adam and Eve, were destituted from the garden, God put a couple of cherubims, you know, with flaming swords, so they will not be able to get back and partake. In that condition, they could not partake. They'd be sinners forever. You know, so he put something to guard that through your life. But today, they are bidding us to come into the Holy of Holy and partake of the tree of life. That is Christ Jesus. And we don't go in and partake, then there will be problems. Amen. So Christ, by his death, has atoned for our sins and opened a way to God. Amen. And God's people are able to come before him. Amen. And you can do it with confidence. But you have to be reverence. There has to be purity. You know, just like the Old Testament symbolized these things. You know, when you look at the Old Testament, what you see is a lot of rituals, rituals of purification and cleansing. You know, even the prophets will knew that God wanted to save the people, you know, from their sin, because that's what it is, the spot and our wrinkles, you know, sin. Adam sinned, and that was it. That separated him from God. So we know in the Old Testament that God loved his people, and God wanted to bring them. So in the meantime, he made a covering for that, so they can have access to God until the perfect, you know, came true. So, he's our mediator now. Jesus Christ is our redeemer for our sins. A man with no sin, he took on himself all the sins of the world. So there's no more sacrifices. Now, what do we get out of this thing so far? I wanna go to Hebrew 10. I wanna take a little context out of there. So in Hebrew 10:14 says, well, I think I have them. Okay. In Hebrew 10:14, so I can read it with you guys, it says, For by one offering he has perfected, consecrated you and me. Okay, perfected you and me. Forever. Them that are what? Sanctified. Now we notice that consecration has something to do with cleansing and purification. I mean, the act of consecrating means that there has to be a cleansing, a purifying. It has to be a life that is sanctified, and that's what it means. And we know that that's part of the salvation, you know, justification, sanctification, and fill of the Holy Ghost. So he says, ever them that are what? Sanctified. So we see in the beginning, you know, when that word was used the first time, Moses, after the Israel came out of Egypt, then they were going to Mount Sinai, and God told him, separate, consecrate yourself, don't touch wife, no relationship, clean yourself, purify yourself, because you are going to meet me in 3 days. In order for them to meet God, they had to be sanctified. God is holy. We cannot go with sin. God cannot stand sin. He loved the sinner, but you cannot come. Brother Branham said in his meetings, after, you know, the preaching, and they were going to do the healing line, he said, you better take care of everything out there before you come here, because if you come here and you have not make it right, God can show it to me. That's how he saw everything. If it was not under the blood, he could see it. God could show it to him. Because if something that is not under the blood, you don't have no right. I don't have the right to claim anything. Satan can do whatever he wants to if it's not under the blood. So, in order to come closer to God. Now, we have to be sanctified. And that is a work of the Holy Ghost. I understand that. So when we come to church, one of the first things we need to understand that we have to consecrate our life before we come to church. And that means make sure that everything is all right. But the brand said before, or at least the message tells us, before you come through those doors, make sure that you have taken care of whatever. You should not come to the church with any disagreements, fuss, fight with your brother, with your husband, with your sister, kids. You should not come to church and expect to see something when you know that something in your life needs to be straightened out. Something you have to ask forgiveness for. Before we come through those doors, we better be in our best behavior that we can, as we know. Brother Brandon says that it will come the day that sin will not come through those doors. Right now, everybody's hiding their secret things. And of course, because there is not a gift around here that can set. And it is a gift. It is. Every time we preach, some of you get mad. So something must be poking somebody. See? So there might be not one person, you know, with a gift that can, you know what the secrets of your heart, because only God is serving the right of that. That's it. But the word will go in and examine. The word, as it's preached, will go in like a two-edged sword all the way down to the bone, to the marrow, and can't discern any heart right here, right now. But you cannot hide. I cannot hide from God. We can pretend. You know what? I don't need to pretend church. I don't need a membership. I want the real thing. The sky is full of real things. Why should I pretend? It might cost me something. So what? I deserve death anyway if I kept going in my ways. So here in Hebrews 7, it talks about dedication. Perfection and dedication. And in Hebrews 10:14 says, by one offering, he has perfected forever me. Now, but God says, be perfect as I am what? Well, I'm perfect. See? As long as I am sanctified, and the Spirit will do that, cleanse me every day. Sanctification is not a thing of like 40 years ago. Like I received the Holy Ghost 40 years ago. Yeah, that's good. But what about today? What is the Holy Ghost doing in your life today? Well, one of the purposes of the Holy Ghost in our life is to sanctify us. Sanctification is not a one-time deal. Opposed to justification. See, that's a different story. Because justification, let me spend some time in justification. Justification declare you and me like we didn't do it. Right? So in the court of law in America, they have something, it's called double jeopardy. You cannot be taken back to court after you've been acquitted that you didn't do it. They can take you back and accuse you and go ahead and try you for the same crime twice. You cannot do that. That is in our law. So, our law says that he paid the price once. Now, that means that he cannot die again. One time was sufficient. That means that there is no other way for him to forgive our sins. He cannot die again and again every time I make a mistake. So you know what he did? You know what he did? He says, I'm going to forgive your sins in the past. And I'm going to forgive your sins in the present. Oh, wait, but I'm going to forgive everything you're going to do in the future. Because Satan is going to accuse you anyway. But see, you cannot be tried twice for the same crime. an already trial. He already died. There's no more trial. It's over. Satan can accuse. Satan can do whatever he wants to. But see, I'm already been tried, and I was found not guilty. So what do you do when you make a mistake? Get up. Confess it. Be faithful. And he promised that he will forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And anyway, that wasn't even you. That's him. It goes on in his tab, not on yours. Yours is clean. So, what a bargain. Now you say, but brother, if you preach that way, everybody can do whatever they want. Yes, but if you are son of God, full of the Holy Ghost, you don't want to do what you want. But if you are not, yes, you want to use that as a something to do your biddings and whatever you want to do. Well, the Lord will forgive me. Well, I know the Lord will forgive you. But you have to pay for the consequences. Somebody has to. The law required death. That's what it was. The day you eat, that day you die. That's it. But see, why? Because we broke the law. And the law has consequences. See? But then I got a lawyer that I didn't even know he was there, but he said, hey, I represent you. I said, okay, you know, what do I got to lose? I'm lost anyway. So when he went in court, he was my lawyer. He also was my judge, and he also was the one that carried the sentences. All in one. So after everything was done, said and done, not guilty. Just like I never done it. So Satan, you can take back to the bank because there's nothing there that you can find on me. Oh yeah, I made mistakes. Nevertheless, he cannot die for me again. So that means that is covered on that redemption, or that blood covers all that from beginning to end. Justification. Now, sanctification is a little bit different now. Because that was a one time. He died for you. You are justified. You know, that's one of the steps of process of salvation. Sanctification, it is a progressive thing. It goes on and on and on until you get to that point that you are out of here. See? Sanctification never stops. And that's the thing some people sometimes confuse a little bit of things here. He says in Hebrews 9:10, well, I was reading, let me go to Ephesians 5:27 right quick. That's my next one. It says, that he might present into himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkles or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, he did that for me. He will do it. He said he will do it, so I don't have to worry about cleaning myself. He already done that for me. But that is a process. That is an everyday thing. You know? So, until the day of the rapture comes, and my body will be completely changed, and I get rid of this body of death that I'm carrying around. But however, he says that he will do that. See, he will have a bride without a spot and without wrinkle. A spot means, you know, the spot of sin. See, I already told you, the Bible says, if that seed remains in you, you cannot commit any sin. Why? Because even if you do, that we're not going to do it premeditated, not intentionally. If we do, that blood remits all the sin from beginning to end. There's no judgment. That's why we don't need to live in condemnation. If you make a mistake, get it all taken care of and forget about the rest of the thing. Just try to be better next time. But you don't have to live in condemnation. Oh, but I did it so many. It doesn't matter how many times you do it. Of course, we don't want to do that, and we don't have a desire to do that. But if we fall, let's get up, ask God for forgiveness, and let it clean that spot. Wrinkles, you know. They say, it's a say in America. It says sometimes when you're doing a plan or you're scheduling, you know, they said, I don't know, this plan looks like it has a little wrinkle on it. You know, it looks like there's something funny about this. Let me look at that again. You know, it has a little wrinkle, so let's straighten out the wrinkles. So see, in this bride, there's no confusions. There's no wrinkles. You know, we are getting what we're getting by the grace of God. We have a ministry and we have gifting there, and we're getting the right thing from the right source. There is no mystery here. There's no confusion. If it is, let me know. I'm not confused. I'm not confused who I am, what I am, and what I'm supposed to do. If you're still confused, that means that you have not never know the grace of God in your life. Because when God comes into your life, that settles everything. Everything that you want, everything that you need, and everything that you will be, it is right there. I don't have to. Faith is the substance of the thing that we hope for. You know, faith is a substance. That means for the things that we hope that we cannot see. See? So I don't even have to worry as long as he puts the faith in me. Because that is what happens, see? Some people said, I have faith. But you know, I have a faith, and that is my hope. That he shows me, and he leads me, and he guides me. And that's where my hope is at, or the things not seen. See? Well, I don't know how can you do that. It's chaos out there. It's this and that. How can you be so cool? Well, I'm not cool, but how can you be so cool? How can you take things that way? I mean, when everybody just, I don't know. The faith that God put in me is a revelation. And my hope is in that faith. So if you had the faith of God, that is Jesus Christ, then there will be no more unstableness. The people that are not stable is because they still do not understand the grace of God in our life. I'm going to get to that in a minute. Man, time runs like a... So, it says, but it should be, then Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men, holiness, without which no man shall see what? The Lord. Now, holiness, consecration is the same thing. God is a holy God. And nobody can approach God. That's why we have to be under the blood. Because the blood, without that blood, there's no remission of sin. So when he looked at me through the blood, he don't see my mistakes. See? That blood is there to protect me. So as long as I'm in that blood, I'm fine. See? Because that was the pay, you know, the sacrifice. It has to be blood. It was paid for my ransom, you know? And it remitted all my sins. So, follow holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, we're going to get into that a little bit. Now, Hebrews 10:15 says, therefore, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he has said before, and that day, let me see, that's the next one. Well, that's 15. Okay. See, I'm missing a part on this one. Where the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. Okay, so that's fine because the Holy Ghost is the witness. That is where you get sealed when your faith is approved, you know. Everybody has to be tested. But once you test and once you pass the test, once your faith, God is satisfied with the faith, that is his faith anyway. It's not of yours. That faith comes from God. But when that faith is there, then the Holy Ghost becomes the witness to us that he has accepted our faith. So now, if we continue putting things together, if somebody has the Holy Ghost, Brother Brown said it this way, he says, that is the capstone. Because that's what sealed you. Now, let me explain that to you a little bit because you got quiet. But some people are waiting for the capstone to come and cap the bride. It will. As a body. But when you individually and you receive God as your Savior and he gave you the Holy Ghost, you were sealed. Individually, we are capped. What is the capstone? Christ, the love of God. See? So that is already done deal. Potentially, we already raptured. Potentially, I made it. Yeah. I'm just waiting for my change of body. But in God's eye, it's done. I'm capped. I'm sealed. But as a body, until the last one came in, the body cannot be capped. And I understand that. But we should be sealed. What sealed us? Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, John 14:20 says, in that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I'm in you. In that day. John 17:23 says, in them, and I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. Consecrated. Perfect. You know what makes you and I perfect, united in one thing? The Father in him, and him in you. And what is that? But when you receive the Holy Ghost. You can try all you want to. You can have fellowship around chicken and tortillas and whatever you like, enchiladas. People do have fellowship, good fellowship around food. When it comes to the Word of God, I don't know what's the problem. That's why we have so many different ideas running around in different churches. Why? Why can't we be one? We have the same Holy Ghost. We got the same God. We got the same baptism. We have the same faith. So what's the problem? Well, it has to be us. Because he says, once you receive the Holy Ghost, that is God in you, you know, through Jesus Christ, then you become perfect. Why? Because that is what's going to lead you, guide you, show you things, and keep you sanctified and clean. Amen? Now, this is Hebrews 10:16 said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. Even though this prophecy has a double application, said the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. That's what the Holy Ghost come. We cannot obey God unless we have some kind of a power. I tried when I was out there in the world. I tried to control things. I tried to do things. I failed. I didn't have the power that I thought I had to do the things I wanted to do. So I needed something greater than me. And that is the Holy Ghost. The Word of God comes into the heart. And then he starts working you and molding you and shaping you and cleaning you. He starts taking all the desires out. See? He starts taking all the world out. So if that is not happening, then, you know, we still have a chance to do something. That is a way. There's no other way. He says, and he has loved them. He says, I in them, so they may be perfect in one. Unity comes by the Holy Ghost. By him himself. You and I cannot make ourselves one. In fact, we can fuss and fight because if you don't believe it the way I believe it, we ain't going to get together anyway. Because regardless, we all have our own ideas. And we have our own thoughts. But see, that has nothing to do with this. We should have his mind, his idea, his thought. And then if we have this Holy Ghost, we can become one in him. It's the same spirit, so why do we have so many different ideas in this message, tangents in this message? He says, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Let's go to Hebrews 10:16. We continue with Hebrew. And this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart and their mind. Will I write them? Now, that's come from Ezekiel. Let's go and read Ezekiel right quick. Then I will sprinkle clean water. Now, again, cleansing, purification, consecration. It has to be there at all time. I'm going to show you that. Upon you, and you shall be clean. So before we come to the Lord, before he accepts us, we have to be clean. So this is something that happens before our conversion, when we are saved. And then it happens through our journey, and it happens all the way to the end. This is not something that stops at the beginning. But he says, then will I sprinkle clean water. You know, the water represents, you know, in the Old Testament, they had to have clean water so they can clean their hands, you know, when they go and eat, or even when they go in the church, in the tabernacle, outside was this thing full of water. It was a ritual. But the water has to be clean. That was one of the things that the priest had to make sure. So, it has to be a sprinkle clean water upon you. And then you shall be clean. So what is the thing that cleans us to begin with? The word is the water that cleans us. When we heard the word at the beginning, the first time, that is what started the work in our lives. It wasn't the end. That was the beginning. So the word comes, it starts cleaning us. Well, you know, you don't have to be that way. In fact, you don't have to stay that way. Forget about what you did. God will forgive you. If you confess God with your mouth and believe in your heart, you can be saved. And all that thing that you was worrying about it, that you did, you can forget it. God will forgive you. So the cleansing starts. Then you start noticing, you know, that, you know, something start leaving your life. Maybe a desire for cigarette, alcohol, not all that stuff start just leaving. Because God start doing a work. See? Right at salvation. He has to. Because you cannot approach God with sins. Nobody can. He's holy. He says, their eyes sprinkled with clean water. So there has to be a consecration to begin with. There has to be a dedication. It has to be a time that we can commit ourselves to that. You know, any man that put his hands to the plow and look back is not worthy. Once we accepted whatever we accepted, then it is time to make a commitment. See? Consecration is making a commitment. Dedicating our life. Lord, I will serve you to the end of my days. As long as you can use me, whatever is left, I will commit to you. Thank you for saving me. And now, Lord, I'm at your service. You cannot go halfway. Either you are 100% or nothing. 99% don't count. Even though that's close than one. But see, it's a dedication of our life without reservation. And if you're not at that point to do that, then I don't care how many times. You cannot have no reservation. Everything has to be open, sincere, honest. He says, here, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. I'm glad that he cleaned me from my filthiness. And from all your idols. And for all your, and will cleanse you from all your thoughts, from all your ideas. See, from all your transgression, iniquities, from all your sins, that has to happen. And that in itself is an experience. 26, a new heart. Then after that, you have to change your heart. Cleansing is first, then a new heart. Because that heart that you had before, you can't even get along with yourself or with nobody else. God needs a heart that is tender enough that he can deal with that heart. Because a heart was what I had before, and I didn't care what I do. And I didn't care about the word of God, and I didn't care about going to church, and I do whatever I want to. That heart has to change. God needs a heart that is tender enough that he can deal, that he can talk to you, and you are sensitive to his word. He said, I give you a heart. A new heart also will give you, and a new spirit. Okay? Now the spirit is a lowercase. So that is not the Holy Spirit. That is, you are body, soul, and spirit. He needs to change your spirit, the way you are, the way we are, the way we think, you know, our desire that is in that subconscious and conscious, all that start changing, shaping and forming all that. Now, this is a problem for so many that they receive Jesus as the Savior. God give him a new heart and they start changing their ways before they used to be more mean than I don't know who, but you know, bad and stealing and drinking. Now suddenly they have a new spirit. They're very gentle. Now you look at them after you knew them for years. You say, something happens to you. There's a change in your life. Yeah, this God is changing you. All everything that the way you used to look at things, the way you used to perceive things, all that is changing. Now it's through the glass of the Word of God. So, but that is not the Spirit. Now, some people stop there, and that's the problem. They think that they receive the Holy Ghost. That's what the Baptists and the denominational tell you. Shake hands. And when you shake hands and you receive Him as your Savior, you receive the Holy Ghost. No. I know things that started changing for me too when I was a Baptist. And I know how God too started taking care of certain desires. I didn't even have to try. In the first month, a lot of things started disappearing. And I didn't know until I said, I haven't had this for a while. I haven't done this for a while. What happened? God was, you know, cleaning. But that is not the Holy Ghost. That is God start working the sanctification process. Because He cannot fill you until things are clean. See? Now, I didn't say you don't make a mistake, but it has to be sanctification. It has to. God cannot put Himself in a sinful vessel. God has to clean it. And you have a part and I have a part. In a minute, we discuss that. A new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away your stony heart and flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And He says on 27, and I will put now my spirit within you. Now, you clean, you justify, you sanctify. Now I'm going to put my spirit in you. See? And cause you to walk. See? Not before that, you cannot walk in His statute. You cannot walk in His precept. You cannot even be obedient to God yet. But He says, once I have put my spirit in you, now I will cause. You don't have to, it's not something that you are making. He will cause you to walk in what? In His word, in His will, that is His word. And not only that, you shall keep my judgments. See? Without the Holy Ghost, it is impossible that you can walk in His word, be obedient to His word. You might try, but you're going to have this up and down life. Why? Because you don't have what you need. You don't have the power to cause you to walk in His word. And that's Him doing that work. And keep my judgments, that is His word, His commandment, His will, and do them. Without Him, I'm nothing. I cannot do it. So the work in my life, it has been all His work. See? Now in Hebrews 10, 17, 18, and their sins and iniquities will I remember what? No more. Hebrews 10, 17, no more. Well, that's it. Once you're forgiven, He cannot remember anything. So how can you be judged for the same thing when He don't remember anything? He forgave you today, yesterday, and forever. So there's no more trials. That's done. When He was trialed, Pilate says, I found no thing in this man. So when that happened, you and I were in Him. So we were judged in Him. It's all Him. And said Hebrew, said nowhere remissions in 18. Now, where remission of this is, there's no more offering for sin. So if you have been redeemed, there's no way you're going to bring more offering for sin. It's over. It is over. Now, what did Brother Branham indicted this generation for? For crucifying Jesus again, afresh? That can be done, but if they want to do that, but according to this, there's no more offering for sins. It's over. You need to realize that you are already completely whole. You already made it. There's no sin in you. Because if it is, then he didn't die for you. He says that there's no more sin and there's no more offering for sin. So how can I be a sinner? A sinner saved by grace? Well, I was saved by grace, yes. I'm not a sinner anymore. Because if I were, then I need more sacrifices tomorrow and the next day and the next day. There's no more sacrifice. One time he died for us. Now, Hebrews 10, 19, 21 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, once you get to this condition, once you have the Holy Ghost, you can go in the Holy of Holies. You don't have to worry about God striking you down and dying. Because now you have that power in you. It is not your holiness. It is not your goodness. It is His. Amen. See? So as long as that faith is in me, that is His goodness, is His faith, not mine, it is Him doing the work in me, then I can go into the Holy of Holies. Why? Because it's all Him to begin with. Said by a new and living way, that's Christ, that's the only way, it says, which has consecrated for us. See? So He did the consecration. He did the perfection. He did the cleaning, the purifying. He had done it all. And through the veil, that is Christ, that is to say the flesh of Christ, and having a high priest over the house of God. He is my high priest. Now on Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart. See? Let me put this. I have a couple of papers here, so I have to look at both of them. So, in Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith. What is a true heart? A sincere heart. You see? An honest heart. See? You know, you cannot say it with your mouth something and then not with your heart, disbelieve it with your heart. Some people, it's just if I ask you, how many want a cupcake and you come, well, everybody will go like this. And I say, how many want the Holy Ghost? And everybody goes like this. But how many truthfully in your heart wants the Holy Ghost? Everybody wants it. But see, to want it and to really be truthful in your heart that you want it, that's a different stuff. That's why we have so many disappointments now, you know, because people that they were here, now they're not here, and they said they had an experience with God. Now he will cause you to walk in His statutes. He will cause you to do to keep His commandments, His judgment. He will cause you to do all that. Don't tell me that you had the Holy Ghost and now He's not causing you to do all those things. You know, the only reason I come to church and I'm faithful is because He caused me. He bring me to church. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, I stay home, just like a bunch of people. I stay home. I get tired just like you, and I get sick, and I don't want to come to church. In fact, I always make excuses not to come to church. But at the end, you know, I just have to throw that mind away, and let's go to church. I'm just being truthful with you. You think that I'm special, that I don't go what you go through? I didn't even want to come and preach. I was going to call Andy, and Andy is not even here. Good help, huh? Can't find good help in this day. So, no, Andy knows I love him. Anyway, that's what I joke about. But so how are we going to confess something with our mouth and not believe it in our heart? Listen, my friend. The word is accepted by faith, the revelation. But it has to be a manifestation. Faith without action is death. And if you have a word and you believe it and you confess it and there's no vindication, it's not an action in your body, then I will think twice about something is going on here, because He said that He spoke it I accept it, and it's supposed to be done. See? So anything that goes to my mind, yeah, the Satan will tempt me all the time. See? So if I have a thought that is not becoming the word of God, then the Spirit will take care of that. He will cause me to change that. You know? But if it's not there to change you, then I'll have to, how we have come to a full surrender, consecration. Because that is all it is. A full dedication to His service. See? You know, we don't have to see your fruits, even though the Bible says, by your fruit you shall know them. And it's true. If you believe the word of God and in your heart you believe it and you confess it, what is the next thing supposed to happen? However, God has to talk to your heart. God has to impress it in your heart. Because not just by confessing, that's what happened to people, claim it and get it. You know, those. If God put it in your heart, then you can speak it. And God caused your body to line up with your confession. But make sure that it comes from your heart. Because that's where God talks to you, anyway. Anybody can say anything they want to. God is not in everything. God only is respectful of His word, and that's it. Amen. So, let's see what I was. Having a high priest over the house, let us draw near with a true heart, sincere heart, or honest heart. You know, make sure that what you said is what you mean. That's all you got is your word. So if you say you are a child of God, then that's what you mean and that's what you will do, what a child of God will do. If you say I am a Christian, then a Christian do certain things. And if not, then I don't know, it's all a big confession and no possession of the word. Because the word is supposed to cause you to be who you are. Not me, but it's the word that caused me to act the way I act. Why? Because I believe, by faith, I believe His word. And that's my hope. That is His faith. So, I just don't understand. I don't even know how other way to walk. I'd be disappointed if He promised me something and I say it and it don't happen. That happens sometimes because it's not Him talking to us. And I understand that. I make mistakes too. Sometimes I make choices and I think He's in the choice and He's not in the choice and it didn't happen the way I thought it should have happened. But okay, it is time for learning. I reserve the right to learn. I had to be tested. I need to learn. But at least one thing is for sure. God knows that I have an honest heart. Okay? If I offended you, it's not intentionally because that's not what is in my heart. In my heart, there is no thing to hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody, not even my wife, children. In fact, I just want to make them happy. Oh, sometimes you have to say no, and that hurts them, but, you know, you have to chastise the kids, you know, when you have to. But what I mean, in me, there's no ought against anybody. Because the Bible says if you have just a little bit of a scratch of ought, you know, that's just enough to cast you out. But I know that I'm honest enough to say my heart is as clean and pure and honest that I know to be. So if the Lord speaks to me, I said, I do it. That's what I got, my word, His word. But if you said, Lord, I will follow you. I will do whatever you bid me to do. Do unto me whatever you want. And when they come, the time where the Satan will come and tempt you, now you have to make a decision. Because it's only two. You have to. You either take Him or you take God. But the Bible said you have to defeat the word of God to believe Satan. That's just the thing. So if the Holy Ghost is in my heart and Satan put something in my mind, and I know that the Holy Ghost is going to right away. That's not right. So what is the Bible says? Resist the devil. Resist the temptation. Resist. that idea. How do you resist something? You just don't think no more about it. I don't have time for you, Satan. The moment that we stay there long enough, like Eve, to reason you out. And you know what happened? The Holy Ghost is contrite. So as soon as we do that, we have to reject the Holy Ghost. So he leaves until you come back and said, I made a mistake. Now, he will take you back. I mean, he will forgive you. But, you know, the consequences are there. So the heart, we have to be honest with ourselves. If you cannot be honest with yourself, how can you be honest with me? You know, that is one of the hardest things, a man to have to trust another man is the hardest thing to do, Brother Brown says. And the Bible says, curse is a man that has trust another man. And it's a hard thing to do. Why? Because to find somebody that has an honest heart, sincere heart, that you know everything is, what you see is what you get. And I'm not talking to you. I sure believe that we all in that position at this point. That we can talk to each other, without, having any kind of sub-agendas. A true heart and a full assurance. See, a full heart will give certainty, assurance of faith. See? So I am certain of God. Brother Branham preached that. See, I don't have to guess if I have God. Because my heart tells me that I am certain that he came in and he took his abode. So I am certain, I have an assurance that he lives in me. Now my life, if that's true, my life has to line up with the word. It says, an honest heart, and you have to be certain, assurance of faith. See, having a heart sprinkled from evil conscience, clean. See, we don't sin intentionally. We don't go to bed and tomorrow I'm going to get it. I'll get revenge. Tomorrow I will do this, this, this. When I go to the 7-Eleven, I'm going to steal me a piece of candy. When I go over here, you laugh, but kids do that. Not so much kids, but even teenagers. They get caught up in the moment with their friends, with their peers. But anyway, we don't sit in bed to figure out what evil we're going to do to somebody else next morning. No, we go to bed and we pray and we think about God and his goodness. And when we get up, we just praise God. Oh, at least I open my eyes. Thank you, Lord. So having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience, no conscience should be. See, that's the thing about if we love the world and the things of the world, that's the conscience. That is the thing of a conscience. That's a choice that we make. So that has to be sprinkled with the water. The washing of the water has to clean our conscience. Give us a new spirit. So we don't desire again those things that we used to do. But you know that you have been cleansed. Why? Because you don't desire. You don't want to go back where you used to be. I'm done. So I know something happens to me. I got an assurance. My faith tells me, that he's doing the work. Yes. It's not me. So he says, come with a full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Why is that? This body is not going to make it. This is sinful. This is condemned already. It's going to pay a price. Why do I need to have my body washed then? Why did Jesus have to wash, the disciples' feet? If they were, it says, you are all clean. But in the daily walk, we go to work, we go to school, we go to Walmart, and there's the spirits, there's demons everywhere, and we are rubbing shoulder with who you don't even know who is the next serial killer, and you don't even know that. Oh, don't get scared. I'm making that up. So, those spirits like to tempt and like to jump over. If we open a door, we're not opening any door. But they're there. You know what? All day long, you are going to be bombarded with thoughts and ideas from Satan. Billboards. Oh, I hate those billboards. You go in and driving and you're thirsty, it's summer, it's 105 degrees, and a nice boy with a nice beer and bubbling. And I used to do that. That's what Satan wants to do. Yeah, he tries. I will give him an A for trying. And he says, ain't that look good? I say, it used to. Just keep going. And then those guys that like to smoke, you know, the Camel, they don't do that anymore. The Lord made them take that off because they were gearing to the adolescents, to the teenagers. But anyway, the Camel, you know, it is cool to smoke. Well, it's tantalizing. I mean, that's Satan. I don't blame him to try, you know. So what happened? It is cool to do this, but if it's cool to do that, for sure it's not good. Because Satan don't have nothing cool for you guys. So, he said, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience. So, let me say something else here. I'm going to have to hurry up. When you are tempted, the Bible says, you will not be tempted beyond, but you can withstand. And with the temptation, you have a what? A door open. You have escape. You don't have to fall in temptation. There's escape. What is the escape? What? Your conscience is what desires to do. You know, that's the body, you know. This body desires to do the things that not of God. That's why we have to bring it under subjection. But actually, Satan knows he has enough time to study you that he knows what make you, you know, work, and he push some buttons here and there. So what happened? So if you fall, it's not because Satan. Sometimes we like to blame Satan. No, in our conscience, there must be a little desire of doing something. You don't think so? Because if our conscience are clean, you cannot get tempted. No, I mean, you will be tempted, but you will not fall. Because there's nothing in your conscience to respond to the pull. Because the conscience has to be clear. That's why we go into this sanctification. We're going to get to that point where Satan had to just pull back. He won't be able to do anything else. But as long as there is a little spot that he can come in and touch you, you respond. I will respond to it. So what we have to do? We have to cover that spot, right? That's what the Bible tells us. Sometimes we are not going to overcome everything. There are certain things in my life that I have to keep it under my foot. Because Satan will come and he'll try to rise that guy back again. But my thing is to keep him down in there, in his place. Because if I let it rise, I'm done. So there's something you got to do, see, every day. You need to cover yourself with prayers, with the word. You better go out there and you make sure that you know that you are covered. Because if you are not, listen. Brother Branham preached a sermon, the door, you know, there are doors, you know, in our bodies. He started explaining that there are different doors, jealousy, you know, complex, this and that. And he says, when we receive the Lord into our lives, what happens? Sometimes we don't want to open all the doors and all the windows and say, just come in. Go wherever you want to. Sometimes there's a reservation. Maybe, you know, you don't even know it. Listen, my friend. Sometimes you do things and I do things that we don't know why we're doing it. At least I do that. I don't know what you guys are. Take your halos down anyway. Sometimes I do things that I don't want to do. And then sometimes I do them and I don't know why I'm doing it. And I know there's a problem, but I don't know what the solution is. And I try the best and I keep falling. So there must be something is in me that I don't understand, but I don't like it. I want to get rid of it and I cannot do it on my own power. So there must be some way because I don't want it. Right. I don't desire whatever it is, jealousy, fights, whatever it is with the world, whatever problem you have. I know my problem. So if I invited Jesus in my heart, I said, Lord, there's a door here. I've been having trouble. And I don't even understand what is inside that door, but it's causing me to do this that I know is against the word. So I need you to open that door. See? This is a choice you got to make. You cannot hide things no more longer. And there's no shame to tell the Lord, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand why I continuously doing this. This sin besetting me or whatever it is. Lord, but I know one thing. I have a problem. You cannot get a solution. Solution will not come until you accept that you have a problem. The first step to a solution is that you have to, and I have to, decide that I have a problem. You don't have to know what the problem is, but you know we have a problem. So we go to the Lord and say, Lord, there's a door here that I don't know what's going on. I don't understand. It's beyond me. But I know it's a problem. I got a problem with this. Can you go in there and check it out and examine? And whatever you bring back out, just tell me what it is. Because I will make it right. I want to make sure that all my life is open to you. There is no secret place. You see? Because what happens if we have a secret place, Satan has the right to tempt you. Satan has the right to go and bother you. Satan has the right to do what he has to do if he finds a spot. That's why it will come the day that he will try and he will try and he will try and not be able to do anything to you or me. Why? There's no more doors. There's no more secrets. There's no more spots. There's no more wrinkles. Well, you know, yeah. Wrinkles, you know, you say, well, you know, I believe what the brother is saying, but I don't agree. Oh, that's a wrinkle to me. You have to go ahead and iron it out somehow. If you think it's a problem, then, you know, just say it. Go and confess it. It's a problem. I don't know, and I cannot see it. Can you help me? Now, what happened is some people go to the pastor, and instead of trying to ask them for help, they're trying to straighten him out. But if your heart is honest and sincere, you can go to the Lord and say, I got a problem. To draw near with true heart, assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, we're going to have to do that every day. You take a bath every day, a shower, right? Yeah, I believe you. I only do it on Saturdays. It has to be the 31st of the month. That Saturday has to be the 31st of the month. Now, when you come to church, you have to be washed. Every time you come to church, you got to be washed by the Word. The Word has to tell you what it needs to be out of there. Chip away all those little things that, you know, that don't supposed to be there. See, the Word is the one that is going to cleanse your body. Now, this body, I know it's a sinful body, but see, we're going to have control and dominion of this guy. And it's our conscience is evil. How are we going to have dominion to this guy? See, that is the whole journey. The whole journey here is for you and me, see, to keep our bodies in subjection. You know, I'm not your enemy. Yeah, and you're not, the pastor is not your enemy. The church is not your enemy. You are your worst enemy. Before you keep me under control, why don't you try to control yourself? Before you try, I got faults. I know that. And you got faults. How can you straighten me out? But you and I are in the same level. I mean, unless you have rice, higher than me, and if that's true, then help me. No, that's what a brother or sister will do if you believe to be. And you know what Brother Brown said? If you think you want to be the first one and you the highest one, then you come and what? You know, the way up is where? Down. So the higher you go, the lower you're going to be. Actually, that's the only way it is. You be the servant of all. If you that high, you should be serving everybody. Amen. I got to hurry up. I'm going to run out of time already. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to our profession, our faith without wavering. I'm almost getting to them, because this is what I wanted to get to. Yes, one more page. Let us hold fast to our profession. No, all our faith without what? Wavering. You know what wavering is? That's a person that is not stable. You know what made a person not stable? The Bible said that a double-minded person is unstable. What is a double-minded person? Well, you want to play in that side, one foot there and one foot over here. You cannot serve two masters. You're just going to have to decide which way you're going to go. But be sincere that you are not playing with a full deck and you're doing something that is not right, or you desire something that is not, or it's not working the way according to the word supposed to work this way. And you don't know what the problem. But one thing is for sure, at the end, the decision is you're going to serve one and you're going to hate the other one. So I don't want to hate God. I don't want to have God, the wrath of God. I don't want to feel that one. So double-minded person is unstable. Why do people come to church, don't come to church? Well, because they're not stable. I'm stable. I'm so stable. And I'm not saying that I'm better, more special, but I'm so stable in what I believe, in the revelation of God, in the leading of the Holy Ghost, that I will not miss a service. Now, that don't make me better than you. That only is that I know my hope that I have in me. See? The faith and everything that I have in me, it costs me not to miss a service. No, I'm not saying you have to do what I do. That is what I, in me, it happens. You know, sometimes I sit home when I'm sick, so I have to stay home. I don't come all the time, but sometimes I get so sick that I stay home and I'm over there sitting and I say, man, I hate this because I know those guys are having a good time and I'm not there. I hate to miss church because I know they're having a good time. And I want to be participating in the good times too. Why? Not because I'm better. It's because something in me, all these years, I have said, you know what? My life needs to be consecrated completely to God. 100%. You just cannot decide what you're going to give God. God can use whatever you want to give him. That's for sure. But he wants all or nothing. Okay? So, consecration, holiness, dedication. You know, God requires from you and from me that we make our minds and make a commitment that we are going to consecrate our life. We are going to surrender 100%. Now, I'm using the word surrender now for the first time. Because when I was in there praying and Brother Jose was praying, he used the word twice. I was rejoicing because that's a vindication. I know where I'm going with this. He used the word surrender twice. I was hoping he used it one more time. It was perfection, but that's right. But, you know, that's a vindication that I know this is what God wants to deliver to you. We need to surrender, be faithful, be loyal to our call. And that's required at 100% surrender. That's required a consecration. That's required a dedication. Let us hold fast to our profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, and then I will conclude. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. See? And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body, all three of them, be preserved, blameless. Now, he can do that. Unto the coming of the Lord. And that's what we're waiting. But in the meantime, It's a process, you know. It calls sanctification, you know. Consecration is the act of cleaning, you know, holiness, and that is sanctification. He says, and the very God of peace will serve you to you. Faithful is he that call. And you do what? See, that's what my faith is on. Paul says, he called me. I know he called me. Now, you got to make your election and your calling sure. I cannot make it for you. I know he called me. I know he elected me before the foundation. I know why. Because I have a spirit in me that tells me that I am now, not tomorrow, not yet. I am the Son of God. I always was. I had that assurance. I got that faith of Christ in me. So I'm certain, you know, I'm not doubting. There's no more doubt in me. That's clean. So because I'm not that, he that was faithful and he that called you will also finish the work. So all I can assume is, I hate to use that word, all I can figure out then is, why not everybody feel the way I feel? Being confident, Philippians 1:6, and this is my last one, and then I will conclude. Being confident in this very thing, that he which has begun the good work, that's what I'm counting on. That he that called me and begin a work in me. Now, if it is a work, that means it's not finished. I'm a work in process. Okay, so I might make a few mistakes before I'll be out of here, but that's right. God is working in me. God is sanctifying me. God is, I'm trying to do by his grace and by God's, power, I'm trying to be as dedicated as I can to his service. There's no doubt in my mind. Where is my position? What is my place? And what do I need to do? And when do I need to do? I have no doubt. I'm very stable. You know, a wife wants a husband that is very stable. You wife can agree with me, say amen, or me, I don't know. Or I don't have one. That. A woman always, just like the bride, wants to surrender herself to the maid. Just like the bride wants to surrender to Jesus. That's the bridegroom. That is the desire of every woman. I'm not saying that she's less. She can think by herself and she can control him anyway. He lets her control him because that is a man's problem. It's not a woman's problem. Okay, now that I'm there, I might as well do it. If a man lets his wife do what he wants to, then that's his problem. Because as long as she sees that he is going to, he takes advantage of it. But that is because a problem that a man has. Okay, enough of that. So what I was saying before that, I forgot. Anyway, anybody remember what I was saying before that? Huh? Stable. See, I know I'm stable. I know who I have believed. I know the experience that I have is real. I know he's real. I know everything in my life is real. See, I got a hope in my life because I know who called me and why. I understand all that. So I don't have to be stable. You know, I'm very stable. Like a husband in my family, you know, like I said, a wife requires a man to be stable. Why? Because he is the head of the house. I got up every Wednesday. I got up every Sunday. What I do, I went to church. That was my dedication. That was my service. That's the little thing I could do, at least, to honor God, is to come to church. Amen. See, that tells about people, the way they respect things. You know, I wanted to honor God. So whenever he bid me to be in any place, that's what I wanted to be. Disregarded of my ideas. Oh, Satan will come. But I got up in the morning, I got dressed, the family got dressed, and we went to church. Nobody told me I ain't going to church today. Ask my children. Now, they were sick. Mama would stay home with them. I come by myself. What I'm saying is, it wasn't no voting he had done. How many want to go to church? You know? Because I was stable. In fact, I'm so stable that most of you can tell what I'm going to do in certain situations because I don't change. Nope. My coffee, it has to be black with 1 spoon of sugar. I don't take milk. I hate milk because I'm lactose tolerant since I was a child. So that's why I drink my coffee black. Just like me, black, tall, and handsome. That's what I tell the lady in the there in the coffee shop. Give me a tall coffee, you know, black and handsome. Anyway, she said, I can't help you with the first two. The last one, you on your own. Anyway, I'm so consistent that my wife can tell me what I'm going to do in certain situations because I will not change it. I'm so adjusted, you know, doing things this way, and I won't change. I don't want my tacos. I don't want peace on my tacos. So I'm consistent. I don't drink milk. I'm consistent with that. And sometimes you get to the point, you know, the more you spend time with your wife and the older you get, they look alike almost. Why? Because they can read their mind. They don't have to say anything sometimes. Because I know what you're going to do. No, you don't. Yes, I do. No, I know. So, being confident in the very thing that one that began the work in you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. I gotta finish this. Okay. Let us stand to your feet, and then I'm going to read this, and I'm going to finish. Micaiah, make your way so we don't have to waste any time. Let me read my exit page here. So, consecration is a type of sanctification, and that means dedication, and that means commitment. For example, someone entering, in the ministry, they go through some consecrations. You know, you have to, you know, make sure that you're going to abide, and you're going to do the things that you're supposed to do. But the things that I want to say here that everybody, you have to establish your life in a commitment. See? We cannot go through life like, okay, see what happened next. We play by ear. We don't play here, but nothing by ear. Right. You know, God is very stable. His word never changed. He is no variation. So you can count on him. There's no, he's stable all the time. So we are devoted and dedicated to the purpose of God. We consecrate ourselves to God, and that indicates that we have a strong commitment to God's purpose in our life. That's what consecration means. It's an act of dedicating ourselves to God, sanctifying it, and making it holy. See? God will take whatever you give them, and he will sanctify for his own use. See? My life. My family. So, to set apart, to dedicate to the service of God by sanctifying it and make it holy. Amen. So that was consecration means. And it is an act. It is not a one-time deal. It's just about every day. Why? Because it's sanctifying me all the way to the end. It's a progressive, it's a purpose, it's a process. And it ends when it ends, when the rapture happens. See, and I'm done. Amen. So that means that God has to. He has to clean you. He has to take all these thoughts. He has to help you with everything. If we are honest enough, he will clean you out of any thoughts, of any ideas, or any problems, any sickness. What I don't care. Anything you have, he's able to do that. But we have to make an honest, decision that we are going to commit our life 100% to him. And you know what that requires? Well, the simple thing is, every time the doors open in church, I'm committed to be here.
Right.
Not for you. I'm doing this because I love God and I love his people. It has nothing to do that I'm better or I'm having an agenda. No, it's because I love God, and that's what I decided to dedicate my life to him, to do all that. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for being so good to us, Father. I know it's a time of consecration. Brother Branham said this is a time to do that. This is a time to make our minds finally, once and forever, that we are going to follow you. We are going to dedicate everything we have, Lord. We're going to dedicate our life, our money, our time, our energy, the whole being. We are going to dedicate it to your work and to your purpose, whatever that is, Father, whatever you can use this. Father, you can have it all. Because, Father, what good it is to gain the whole world and lose our soul. Father, everything I have, my family is yours. My car is yours. My house is yours, Lord. My time, anything that I have is yours. And it's committed and dedicated for your work. That is the only purpose and reason that I have here to be, is to please you. And that requires a commitment and a consecration. And a dedication. Father, we dedicate ourselves to you afresh tonight. Father, whatever area we lacking or whatever problems we have, Father, we know you are more than able to come and straighten these places, these areas, Father, in our life. If we are honest and sincere, I know you will do it. You will not reject a sincere and honest heart. Father, we want to do it. We desire to do it. We want to please you. That is my desire, to do thy will. That is your word. So whatever it takes, Father, you know my heart, and I will do that. I just need you to tell me, to guide me and lead me. And I know that you will do that. You will finish that word that you started in me. Father, the time is late. Father, we just like you told your brother, Brother Branham, that he needed to have more sincerity, I think we have to have more consecration to the things of God. I think this is not a time to be lacking or slacking or missing. This is a time that we have to make a decision. What are we going to do? And my decision is, me and my house will follow God. And I pray that that is all our decisions tonight. And that requires that we lose ourselves completely. To follow you requires that the young ruler, he says, Lord, what do I need to have eternal life? He said, just give it all. See, your life, your money, your kingdoms, your subjects, everything that you have, give it away. Give yourself away to me now and follow me. That was too hard for him because he has so much. Father, and it's not in the quantity, Father, but you can have everything I have. My life is in your hands tonight. Father, use it in the best way that you know how to. Father, help us tonight to live here with a different attitude tonight. This is a new year. We need a new attitude to approach this year. We need to consecrate our life, that coming, whatever comes, whatever circumstance, whatever situation, whatever come our way, our minds are made up that we are going to follow you. Let Satan throw whatever he wants to. Let the storm come. Let whatever it comes. Our decision is that we are going to dedicate our families, our children, our house are to your purpose, Father. The problem is sometimes we come to you with certain reservations. You need a full surrender tonight, 100%. And that includes everything that we have of. Father, we love you and we appreciate everything you have done for us, Father. But I know sometimes we are weighing the balance and we come a little short. Father, help us, because we don't want to do that. Father, we want to be give the measure that you have given us. Oh, faithful servant, come into the joy. See, we want to be found faithful in that day. Faithful in the things that you have called us to do. Faithful in our position, in our places, in our families. Faithful with everything that you have given us, Father. With our time, with our money. It just takes just about all. Father, we love you again. And like that song says, that Micaiah sings, there's no word to express, but you know our hearts. And Father, we want to do what is best. Not for me, for you and for the brothers and sisters that you have put us. You have put us in this local place, Father. We want to serve one another with love and kindness. We want to be understanding. We want to care about each other. Father, we want to help each other because, Father, without you help, we never be where we are now. But it was you, Father. So tonight, Father, give us that spirit of to be humble and servants. Father, help us to completely surrender our life to you. Father, you can take my life. Whatever is left, use it for thy glory and thy honor. We consecrate this place. We consecrate everyone that is here, Father. Father, we come to you. And we want to do exactly as Mary said, do unto me as you have said. Father, every time you speak, we want to do that. Because there's no other better way but your way. Father, we thank you again. And now, as we close in tonight, we want to lift our hands and sing that song that said, I surrender all. And as we sing that song, I surrender all. And as we lift our hands as a sign of surrender, we mean it, Lord. From the bottom of our heart, we want to surrender our lives completely. I surrender all. So give me a key. All to him I freely, all, 100%, the first stanza, all to Jesus I surrender. Now think what you're singing. Sing it with your heart, with understanding. Freely I will ever love you and trust you. It's a daily thing. I surrender.